Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Automate and Grow. I'm here today with Virginie Glanzer, and hopefully I said her name correct, from Soho Spaces in New York. And Virginie's doing some really interesting stuff with her pretty new co-working facility in the Soho area, which is also known as Silicon Alley. So I wanted to make sure that we reached out and talked to Virginie because she has a really unique perspective, I think, on trends around the freelancing boom and her role in creating communities. So Virginie, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Michael. Nice to be on the show.
Thanks. So now you're Parisian and you came to the U.S. from Paris quite a while ago now. How did you come to the United States, and you know, what was kind of your involvement in tech? And I know you have kind of an interesting background.
Yeah. So I moved in 99 from Paris to Silicon Valley. I was a co-founder, and at the time, Silicon Valley was the place to be if you were building a software company. So I moved with my four suitcases and had an amazing journey. I remember living in a Motel 6 for 3 months, eating a 99-cent cheeseburger from Wendy and drinking the hotel coffee. And even though that sounds harsh, it was a lot of fun. I had no kids at the time, and you know, me and my idea, and that's it. Then I stayed about 17 years, and I went into marketing, digital marketing, and 5 years ago I moved to New York.
And that's a big change, right? Like, I guess you went from one side of the country to the other. What drew you to New York?
Well, I got tired of Silicon Valley. You know, after 17 years, not just from a culture standpoint. First of all, it's very far from France, but it's just tech. That's all there is. Plus, you know, after a while, you get tired of the blue sky and people being politically correct. I said it over and over. You know, it's like you want the truth. Time is all we've got, and I just didn't want people to not be true to, you know, not being direct, just, you know, a lot of BS, and I got tired of it, so I came to New York.
I find that very interesting. I've spent some time in Silicon Valley and San Francisco specifically, but it sounds like there's that element where people are trying to not offend each other, and there's a lot of different mm-hmm. viewpoints, and so that's interesting that you say that, and I think there's like a lot of university controversy over universities in that area where, yes, there's Stanford and this phenomenal education, but then there's also this interesting stuff around Berkeley. So I wonder how much of that culture comes out of those institutions. I'm curious because you've been there. So it's funny to hear you say that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Silicon Valley. I wouldn't be who I am if it was not for the place, the beautiful landscape. And people are very welcoming, very open. You can be who you are. You don't give a, you don't care about what people think of you.
That makes sense.
But it's also very money driven. It's very tech driven. And when you're an entrepreneur, you just want to, you know, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And you know, when people are not really honest, and VCs will say, "Oh, that's an interesting idea." Now I know what it means. It just means no, it's not interesting.
You're translating.
I'm not going to fund it, but you know. And then the world is big, so why stay in the same place?
Sure.
Right. So.
Yeah, that's amazing change. So, it sounds like in New York, you've started this co-working. I would call it a co-working, but I think you have a different terminology for it.
Yeah.
A co-working space called Soho Spaces, and we're actually going to be doing an event there together at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And you were kind enough to, you know, provide the space for that Founders Live New York, so we really appreciate mm-hmm. that. But tell me a little bit about what you've started and why you started it.
Yeah, I'm excited to host your event. So it's Soho Places.
I
got, you know, it's easy to make the confusion. So yeah, I started this not knowing, and I still don't know where I'm going. This is more like I am alive. I don't want to have any regrets. I had an idea for many years. I have no idea if there's any leg to the business, but I wanted to try out. So I took a personal loan, and I'm doing it.
Wow. Okay.
At least I'll have no regrets. I'm building something for other people. And it really all started with reading a book. The book is called I Am Keats. Free Yourself. I don't remember the exact title, but it's called I Am Keats from Tom Isacker. And this book is about identifying the two voices that we have in our head. It's a metaphor for two poets, Keats and Coleridge. And so on one hand, we have this voice called Coleridge, which is the way we're, you know, being educated. It's about caring what other people think of you. It's about controlling your life. It's about having a safe and secure experience and not doing anything crazy. And then on the other hand, we have that voice, which is very tiny, that very few people actually listen to, which is about creation and living in the moment, in the present, and just doing things because you feel like it. And so every day we have that battle between those two voices. So once I read the book and I was able to identify those two voices and listen to that tiny voice, I was able to hear that I actually wanted to help freelancers. And when you're a freelancer, when you have made the decision to work from home, and you don't want to pay $500 at a co-working space, or and you don't want to end up at a Starbucks or a hotel lobby to host meetings, or just to get out of your apartment to work, where do you go? There's no other places. And there are, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are other alternatives,
sure.
But nothing that I was happy with. So I created a space. I actually took the opportunity of retail, which is in big crisis, right. And I open a store, a storefront. You just walk in. It's a quiet space for people to work and meet. So you have booths, and I can show my video and look around. These are pods, booth up two, and we have beautiful artworks from artists, but it's a quiet space. We soundproof the space. We have coffee and tea. It's $6 an hour. And people can book 1, 2, or 3 hours using a Facebook Messenger bot. We have a reservation system, and that's how we started. And then we saw people coming. So my first question was, would this appeal to anyone? My second question was, who does it appeal to? So now I know about 5 profiles of people who are coming on a repeat basis and paying for it. And as I'm every day, and so we're open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., it's a space that we offer to meetup owners because I'm a meetup myself. Last month, I paid $100 just to get 8 people in a room to talk about something that I'm interested in, and I just couldn't do it. So every night we have event, and that led to new opportunities. So for example, now meetup owners are coming back again and wants to pay for it. So there's an additional revenue. And from those people, when I see freelancer coming in, they're very lonely, and they usually have one fantastic skill, which is why they're freelancing or consulting, but they're lacking all the surrounding skills to build their practice.
Interesting.
And so now what I'm doing is a new program called Soho Places Expert in-house or office hours.
Okay.
So in exchange of a good discount price, people will give 2 hours free of their time. So on the weekend, for example, on Saturday, we have someone, she works at a VC firm and a venture capitalist, and she's an expert in sustainable food startups. And so she's willing to give 2 hours, one-on-one consultation to people to look at their business model, business plan, etc. We have a life coach who's willing to sit down for 45 minutes and have a one-on-one conversation to people who are thinking about getting a life coach but are not sure or wants to share, you know, solve one of their problem. And we have someone from a tax accountant who's willing to sit down with people, and you know, all various across all the various skills, and that's it. I mean, we're also building an app called Soho Connect that connects people with what they need and what they're willing to offer. So right now there's a board in the entry. People put sticky notes of, here's my email, here's what I need, here's what I'm willing to offer. Let's see where that goes.
There's so many things that I want to unpack here that you've got. It's like, it's really amazing what you've just, a bunch of things that you've just said to me. So one, I find it really interesting. I find it very French, actually, that you've been inspired by a book called I Am Keats. So your entrepreneurial muse, and it's almost like, you know, I think there's this concept of business planning and, you know, trying to begin with the end in mind. And you've almost said, I'm going to go on this journey. And but it seems like you are still driven by a mission, which is, and you talk about freelance, which, you know, we kind of talked about this on some other episodes, where the trend in the marketplace, at least in North America, and I think this is probably globally, where, for example, in the US, there's like about 110 million employees today and about 65 million freelancers. And they say that by 2027, that number is going to cross. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're in a sweet spot where there is growth. But you also talk about, I guess, the fact that these people have one specific skill. So it sounds like what you're trying to do partially is, there is a philosophy behind what you're doing, right? Which is, do your one thing well and then rely upon the community, it sounds like.
Right. And I think we need the community. I think with the internet and the explosion of communication, we ended up believing that I can do anything I want online. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, not only we got lost in our own addictions, because now we're truly addicted with social media, for all the wrong reason, because it feeds our ego and, you know, how many people like my post and, you know, what do people think of me? So it really push us in the wrong direction. Because instead of listening to what we want, we're listening to what other people think. Mm-hmm. But I also think that doing business is first and foremost building relationship. And I'm not saying you can't build a relationship with Skype and emails, but gosh, there's something to looking at someone's eyes, doing a handshake, and just being in front of someone, feeling their vibes. You can't replace that. And isn't that the human experience?
So do you feel that there's like, and I've seen posts like this, and I was talking with someone else about this on another episode, where I see posts of, you know, people that I consider fairly influential, and they're talking about how they're disconnecting from social media to reconnect in the real world. So it sounds like, number one, you've got a business model based upon the fact that people need this. Mm-hmm. And number two, are you seeing this as a you know, kind of like a, not a backlash, but a trend in response to that this pendulum has swung too much in one way, maybe? Or like, what's your...
Yeah, kind of... Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, technology is brand new. So, you know, until you actually experience fully, you're going to, you know, we're burning our fingers, right? Right now, we're just burning our fingers. So it takes a little bit of time. Some of us are burning faster than others. But yeah, there's pain. And what's interesting is that there's a loneliness in society, a deep feeling of loneliness, which is weird because we are hyper-connected.
Right.
And despite that, people are very lonely. And I think loneliness is not that we're not connected to each other. The loneliness, I think, is because we lost touch with who we are. We've became, not just as an American society, but as, you know, civilized people, so focused on becoming someone, which means acquiring stuff, having status, having egos, you know, and all this, you know,
the attention.
The world has become really a ridiculous place. And if you think about it, some people are being paid millions to play basketball when other people are just dying of not having food or clear water. And we're just, you know, okay with this. It's like, it doesn't make sense. So if the world doesn't make sense, let's just, you know, try a business, not knowing where I'm going. I have no idea if, like, I need partners, I need funding, I need other people, like any freelancers, to build their own practice. Sure. I've done it with myself. I have a few people that have helped me along the way, but I'm here 7 days a week, and I can feel there's something. But in order for me to become a sustainable business, that's step two. Now I see who's coming, I see what they need. Now the next step is to find other landlord who would allow us to expand, to find investors who think that there's a real business in here. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, so be it.
So, but you hit on some really interesting things. So one is this retail apocalypse where, you know, there's suddenly, and I think Christmas was probably normally a very busy time in retail, and we're now seeing a lot of bankruptcies and a lot of struggling retailers go over that tipping point. So marginal retailers, and obviously the trend towards e-commerce and Amazon is, you know, kind of it's a sea change, it seems like. So you were talking about how part of your business model and strategy, though, even though I know you feel like you're maybe not, you don't know where it's going to end up, but it's really interesting to me because you're offering landlords that have unused real estate a purpose for some of that real estate, it sounds like, where they can partner with you to open like a Soho Places inside your space. So I don't know if you can maybe talk about that and what that opportunity is, because I found that really interesting.
Yeah, so we are almost like a staging retail company or space or retail as a service. Call it, there's no name, so it's hard to describe it. But what we do is we tell landlord, hey, your space has been vacant for about a year. You're trying ultimately to get a long-term tenant. Having an empty space doesn't help at all in the negotiation, and you're losing money. So let us move in. We soundproof the place. Everything is temporary. These are carpet tiles. In 3 days, we set up shop. We bring people. We have a host. We offer coffee. And we share the revenue. If you get a long-term tenant, we're out of there in less than 3 days.
Oh, wow.
That's it. You can even send us prospective tenant. We'll show them the space.
Amazing.
So we make it super easy, and they make a little bit of money. It might not cover their rent, their asking price for the rent, but you never know. If the long terms, you know, it becomes a lot more, we have a chance to stay from a long-term perspective in a particular place, and we do well, they'll get maybe more than what they would be getting through a tenant.
So it sounds like part of your model could be, and this is what's interesting, is I realize you've put a lot on the line to have an actual space where you are now, but it sounds like you have a way to duplicate that without actually having to invest in rent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a good partnership potentially for landlords. So that's kind of an interesting model where you're almost like, you know, similar to an Airbnb or an Uber, where you're like a co-working space without space.
Right, you know, exactly. And then people don't really care. It's like when you get a zip car by the hour, you don't care which garage you're going to pick up the car as long as it's the same experience. So if you have to walk two blocks, instead of 435 Broome, you're going to be on Crosby Street, fine. It's the same experience, the same people, and we're building that app called Soho Connect that will allow you to see who's in the place or in Soho Places while you're there. So you have to get out of your apartment, come in to be able to network with people.
Interesting. And to your point, like, it could be part of your model, it sounds like, where you could expand this business rapidly potentially with those types of partnerships. For, you know, retail is probably, you know, going directly up the line to the landlord, right, where they're going to have challenges, and they're probably struggling with a way to deal with suddenly empty space with no rent coming in.
Exactly.
But there's still people, right? Maybe people aren't shopping, but maybe what they need, to your point, is they need a space. And I always thought this about malls, which is maybe malls always used to work. There's a weird community element about malls, right?
Yeah. So we're talking actually to a couple of major mall companies that have approached us because they're facing the same issue. It's empty. And what we would do, we would drive people to the mall. And not only you would be having your meeting or, you know, a couple of hours work, but then you can go on and shop. So, you know, that the best of both worlds. Same thing for hotel. We actually are in a negotiation with hotel. One of the big hotel firm is coming on Friday to have an offsite meeting and checking the concept. Now that we have a beta store, if you will. So, hotel 70% of meeting rooms in hotels are empty.
That's really interesting. So it's like, to your point, if it's dead space during a certain hour. I've seen other apps like you know, PeerSpace as being an example, but this is very specific, right? It's not just rent a space for your event. What you're doing is you could potentially, if this, you know, gets to a tipping point where you could drive a bunch of people on almost like a flash sale of coworkers to work in a unique space that's maybe for the owner, whether it's a hotel or a mall, is kind of dead time. So it's kind of an interesting model that you're talking about.
Yeah, and this is really about, we're talking about driving people because the value they get out of it, in addition to a comfortable, quiet place to work and to meet, which makes them look good, especially if it's with prospective client, it's also about helping them build their own practice. And I think when you're a freelancer, it's already hard that you're by yourself. There's not a lot of organization that helps you find client and customers and build relationship. There are a few platform online, but what I'm seeing from those platform, and actually there's more than one, where as a freelancer you can create a profile and put your work out and start getting quotes, it actually drives the price down. So you end up doing a logo design for $5. You end up doing a marketing strategy for, you know, $25 an hour. That's just not sustainable, and that's just not right.
So you would talk for things like Upwork as an example, where, and I found this, where you're competing against a billion other people and it's very difficult to distinguish yourself. And the point of the platform is to drive the rates down almost in a sense, as opposed to feature the unique ability and story.
And again, when you're a freelancer, it's not just the money, it's the work itself. It's being in front of someone who will appreciate your work, who will give you all the inputs you need to be creative and to give back to that individual. There's an exchange of value, and it's not just this dollar thing that, you know, we're supposed to be running towards.
It's the freedom and unique work, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. I wanted to touch on one other thing, which was, there's a few things I want to touch on, but you'd also talked about how you used Facebook Messenger bots to, I guess, attract freelancers into your space, and then also you built a reservation system. So I'm kind of curious about how that works. And then what you found as you built that, like what the acceptance of it's been and what that process of developing it was.
Yeah, so it's been really an interesting experience. I really thought that people would be like 100% excited to have a Facebook Messenger bot. And originally, I'm a big believer that with brand, I want to chat, right? Another app on my phone, no thank you. That was really the premise of why we wanted that dialogue, that communication, one-on-one dialogue. Because again, it's about building a relationship, right? It's not just making a reservation. So I'm really happy with the experience of Facebook Messenger app. However, and we've used three Node.js application. We're using a MongoDB bot. We are using a HappyJS seat controller. We have a reservation system. We've built using a Raspberry Pi with a touch screen.
Oh, wow, you guys have like gone all in on building
something. Yeah. So it's been really, you know, we have a timekeeper. I mean, there's a whole, and we have a patent pending on the reservation mechanism. But it's interesting to see that there's a lot of people who says, I don't want to use Facebook. That I did not expect. So we also, for walking people, we take cash and credit card.
Okay.
we are thinking of expanding and finding another way. So maybe text messaging might be one way to go. I know iPhone has just released that, you know, iMessage is now going to be open to companies.
Oh, to bots.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting.
So I definitely want to keep in that. I don't want to go have another app. I don't want like a reservation system. I want to have that interaction, you know, like the chatting. And people like the experience of the messenger bot. It's a bit awkward, and it's funny how people actually ask questions.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a conversation going on, but it's not like a person on the other end.
No. It's, you know, and this thing, we also learned, you know, something like, you know, do you have a bathroom? And the chatbot will say, I'm sorry, I did not understand what you're saying. What would you like to do? So it's funny, we had to add. And it's also, we have someone who can interrupt or participate to the discussion live on Facebook. So it's...
I find this whole space very, very interesting, and it's amazing how that platform has been opened up, and then there's an ecosystem, and you've developed, it sounds like, your own application around scheduling that plugs into the Facebook Messenger bot system. So it's really interesting how that's being adapted, like entrepreneurs like yourself, and how it's being adopted. And you know, I see different things, like internet marketers, instead of building landing pages or websites, they'll put what they would normally call a sequence or a funnel into the messenger. And it's almost like you're doing this, something similar, where you have like a virtual sales agent to help you book people in, but also to eventually also provide customer self-service. But it sounds very personal too. It sounds like it'll evolve too as you get used to the questions. So
it is a one-on-one relationship with the brand directly. You're talking to Soho Places when you're booking your seat.
That's really interesting. And then what's your timing on the other application, which is Soho Connect, I think you called it, right?
Mm-hmm. So we have it now as a manual process. We have a whiteboard literally in the entry where people put sticky notes and they put their email address, and I'm the one doing the business matchmaking.
Oh, wow.
Until we have the app. But I'm hoping that maybe in a few weeks, we should have the basic feature. When you come in, you create a very simple profile and you use keywords to say, here's what I need and here's what I'm willing to offer. And the purpose of it is almost like a trade exchange skill. Of course, having 100% match is going to be hard. I mean, if I'm willing to give web design help, and in exchange, I want to have someone to do a video, finding this exact change or match may not be,
So are you actually thinking there's a barter element, or is it more about building awareness?
It's a trade. So originally, the concept is a trade. Is, hey, I'm in Soho Places. I need someone to help me this. And by the way, here's what I can give.
Interesting.
Right. So if it's a trade skill, you're done. If there's no, if you can only take what someone is willing to give and the person is willing to give it for free, maybe the person is going to get some sort of credit through Soho because that person gave some time. And then there's a rating system, and it's...
So there's probably a point where that probably isn't as useful, right? So is there also an element where I can buy services or I can promote someone's service?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I almost think the referral aspect too, because you were talking before about, building a community where everyone kind of knows whatever else is doing. And yes, I'm consuming each other's services, but then there's the lead generation part you were talking about.
Yeah. So it's a new program that we just, again, not knowing where we're going. It's just that as we see people coming in, those freelancers with one skill, they're lacking all the surrounding skills to build their business. So the idea is to have expert in-house. We give them a discount and they give back a couple of hours. But really for them, it's also a lead generation mechanism to help build their practice. So a life coach can give a couple of hours free. And, if that person who gets 45 minutes of one-on-one consultation for free with that life coach thinks that, I actually want to continue and I want to continue with you. And, what are your rates? Okay, let's work together. That's lead generation. That's helping them build a business.
Makes sense. I would like to see you think about this idea, and this is just free advice.
Yeah, give it to me.
Take it for whatever you want. What you've described is you're building these ecosystems, and if you're able to expand your space and through the app, expand the awareness within a small group of people that have complementary skills or non-conflicting abilities, I would almost like to see you take something, and I haven't seen this, where you turn it into a referral, but almost like a built-in affiliate program. And where Soho Places maybe takes a piece of that, but if I'm referring you for this client and you book the job, they're paying a five, and you set a standard where it's like, call it 10% and maybe 2% goes to Soho Places. So you have, number one, you're creating that community in a very purposeful way, because I can see where barter would, I've seen barter groups before and it becomes very difficult to exchange value, but people are willing to promote other people. Yeah, and maybe that's a more important thing, which is, so hey, I have this client that has these other needs. So it's just a thought.
Yeah. So you actually have directly seen my vision in the long term. And I'm already, it is very true for people who have an established business or wants to get into an established business. So yes, it's exactly what we're thinking doing in the long term. That's the value of the community. Because the question is, okay, you're bringing people on a specific space, and it's pretty cheap to be here, $6 an hour, and even less if you take a pass of 40 hours. But how do you monetize? What's the long-term, business? And that's one of them, how to monetize the audience, is if we get people together, we create a spark, it generates a revenue, then we should get something out of it. So that's the referral program. Yeah. And I'm actually already talking to people from Prudential or Merrill Lynch. These organizations have independent sales individual. Mm-hmm. They have to be on their own practice.
Right.
So it's, I may start with them or some other people, but yeah.
That's interesting. We can talk about it offline, but I think it's an interesting idea. And you know, another interesting trend is this, which is media's no longer in the hands of big corporations necessarily. And I have a friend that we did another interview with, and he's in the music space where they train DJs, and it's they have a really interesting space in LA and New York and Miami and a few other markets. I forget he mentioned Dallas was another one and Atlanta. But one of the things that they're doing is they're creating a podcasting timeshare. So basically, you know, three booths that are set up so anybody can book it out, come in and do their podcast broadcast.
Oh, so
I'm curious to see if that would, I think that would fit really well to what you're doing.
So I know. So one of the ideas that I had was to put a room within the room for podcasts. It's transparent glass, not very big off a desk, and you can record your podcast as, you know, completely soundproof. So it costs $2,000. If I find to the company that says, I'll put my logo on, I'll give you $2,000, do it, I'll do it.
Yeah, no, that may, we'll talk. I think that's really interesting.
Exactly.
I want to be conscious of your time, and you've shared with me, I think, a lot of really interesting ideas, and I think good examples for anyone that's starting up. And I applaud your bravery and guts in pursuing an entrepreneurial journey. And you're early, but I think you're onto something. Just as we always say, stay the course, and whatever we can do to help you, I will. I'm going to ask you two questions to kind of wrap up, so that I can let you back on with your day. But so the first thing that I usually ask most of my guests, and I can guess, but I'm not going to guess. So what I want to ask you is, how are you changing the world?
Oh my God, that's that. I don't know. My first reaction is I don't want to change the world. That's just too big of a responsibility.
Yeah.
No, but it's just, you know, if I'm able to do something because I feel good about doing it and it brings value to others, it makes people life easier, that's it. Whatever easier means to them.
That makes sense. So you're facilitating that change, and you're part of You're it sounds like to me, and I this is what I get back from you, is that you have a very altruistic motive, but at the same time, I think you're in a very hot space.
That's so true. You know, yes, and that's what I think. In the first time that I was an entrepreneur, it was all about my ego, about me succeeding, making a place, wanted to have an impact with the world, and being able to tell a good story. This time around, I don't care. I don't want to do it for my ego. I don't want to do it for what other people are going to think of me. I just want to do it because I feel like doing it. I'm comfortable not knowing. I'm comfortable not knowing where I'm going, which is what I've learned and I'm still, you know, tippy-toeing in this experience of not knowing, because I do want to know. I do want to make this a success. I do want to continue and see people's face when they come in and when they leave and the connection they can make. But
I think I want to be open to the world. So you just don't realize it yet. I'll wrap up with one final request. So I put all my guests on the spot at the end, which is, when we talk to interesting guests, and you've got an interesting community there, we ask that you nominate someone specifically that you think would also be an interesting guest. We obviously normally talk about experts or entrepreneurs. We talk about obviously technology, but also trends in the space. And I'd like you to nominate someone that you think would be a great guest and that you would be willing to introduce us to.
Well, and the first person that comes to mind is the person who wrote the book that made me do what I'm doing right now.
Oh.
So the author, Tommy Secker, he lives around Boston, New Hampshire, I think, and he'd be a great person to have on your show.
And do you know him?
Yeah, I do. I'm happy to make an introduction.
That would be amazing. So, Thomas, you have been nominated to appear on an episode of Automate and Grow. or Nominate and Grow. We could always change the name, but Virginie, thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending some time with me today. And I really appreciate your entrepreneurial journey and your bravery and your perspective. And I think you're onto something. Just keep working at it. And we will we'll look forward to that introduction to Thomas. And this has been episode, I think, 12 of Automate and Grow. So we're well into the teens and moving onward. So thank you very much. And I will see you February 28th for the very first Founders Live New York City, where we'll have five. And I think you actually wanted to pitch too, right? This is... It's normally a pitch.
I'd love to.
Let's do it. Okay, you're on the dock. So you'll be one of the five companies that are going to pitch to the audience. So we look forward to seeing you there in live.
Great. Thank you very much, Michael, for having me on the show. It was a great conversation.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And this has been another episode of Automate and Grow.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.